Oh, before it had really pleasant flavours added in about 100 years ago, people would chew all sorts of stuff, including different sorts of sticks, like a stick called miswak, which was very popular in Indonesia and Malaysia. So people have been chewing stuff for reasons other than eating it for quite a long time.
Why do we chew? Why do we like to chew stuff like that?
It's partly because it does sort of freshen the mouth up. And there's also some argument that by chewing we can relieve some stress. It's a type of muscular workout that doesn't involve you having to sweat.
That's very true. Does that, do our jaws and mouths need exercise as such?
Well, if you don't use it, you will lose it, as the general principle goes with all different sorts of muscles. But, of course, chewing is one of the many things that the mouth does. And, of course, we use those muscles every time we speak and swallow and so on. So you don't really run into people who've developed some significant weakness in their mouth muscles unless they've had something like a stroke, for example.
Now, Laurie, is there evidence that chewing gum can actually improve your dental health?
Yes, there is. And, in fact, this evidence goes back over more than 40 years. It's all basically around the concept that when you chew, the type of saliva that's in your mouth is quite different. So the large glands that sit just behind the corner of your jaw and up just underneath your ear, called the parotid glands, those salivary glands produce a very, very rich alkaline type of saliva that's fantastic for repairing some of the early sorts of defects in enamel. And when you chew, you stimulate that gland and it produces some wonderful saliva that adds to what normally sits in the bottom of the mouth.
Does that mean you can chew as much as you like, or do you get that effect without too much?
You get that benefit from chewing for about 30 seconds onwards. Once you chew gum, some people chew very, very quickly to sort of try to get the flavour out of the gum, which sort of defeats the purpose. The flavour is meant to last a long time,
yeah.
And so you're meant to sort of chew the one bit of gum for anything up to about 20 minutes.
Does it also depend, Laurie, on the type of gum you're chewing?
Very much so, Gillian. So in the early days, chewing gums were made to taste very pleasant. They had a lot of sugar put in them. And, of course, that just releases sugar into your mouth, which is not good for your dental health, let alone for your waistline. However, we've had many, many different sort of brands of sugar-free chewing gum, and that gives you the benefit of chewing with this boost to saliva, but without any risks from the added sugar, because they're all sweetened with things that can't cause tooth decay.
So we should look out only for the sugar-free gum?
That's exactly right. Some of the brands even got a little picture of a hat with a little umbrella over the top. A little tooth with this little umbrella indicates that it's one that is dentally safe. But certainly the main ones that are marketed that are sugar-free are fine, as long as they don't contain a whole bunch of different sorts of acids.
So this is not sugar as such that we need to be aware of. It's acids like...
This is like citric acid. So this is a common sort of acid you find in citrus fruits, you know, limes, lemons, all that sort of stuff. So some chewing gums have included, because when your mouth gets exposed to those acids, the production of saliva goes up. It's a type of protective or defensive reflex. However, these acids steal away the available calcium ions which are in saliva, and that basically stops it being able to repair things. So we don't want these sorts of acids being produced and released by chewing gum. We'd much rather have people just chew a plain sugar-free gum.
And I wonder if a chewing gum could ever be a shortcut to a toothbrush or flossing.
If you've got nothing else. Well, if you've got nothing else, the movement of the teeth will clear off a little bit of plaque, but it doesn't go anywhere close to replacing mechanical cleaning. A brilliant study which has tracked people from their birth in New Zealand from 1972 to the current day has shown that people who keep good oral health by brushing do have much better long-term dental health and general health just from the simple act of brushing. So we don't want to give a message that maybe use some gum instead. The gum can certainly freshen up someone's breath, but it doesn't mechanically get to all the little nooks and crannies around the mouth, which is so important.
Now, can I ask you then, I mean, you mentioned fruit juice and gum, Laurie. Can I ask you your position on the idea? I was reading something recently that suggests that fruit juice might be worse for your teeth than soft drinks or cordials. What's your position on that?
Exactly. Well, that was one of the stories I was involved with earlier, so you've come to the right place.
Excellent.
So it's well known that if you expose the teeth to a large amount of particularly citric acid, that you will get some dental erosion or what's sometimes now called acid tooth wear. And that's why we're always cautious if people have a lot of exposure to these sorts of drinks that they can develop this wear and get quite sensitive teeth. So if you want to drink these things, then there is a straw. And a straw is a great way of making sure they don't get all over your teeth.
Sparkling water?
Sparkling water only has some dissolved carbon dioxide, which is an extremely weak acid. And as it sits in the mouth, it's actually quite readily neutralised by the normal salivary defences. So we're actually not that worried about sparkling water as long as you don't hold it in your mouth for hours at a time, which, of course, no one's going to do.
No. No, I think they've got bigger problems if that's the
exactly.
case, Laurie. What about teeth whitening? That's been in the news as well recently. While we've got you, Laurie.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so the concern in the area of teeth whitening is that sometimes people don't distinguish between stains that are on the surface of the teeth, which can actually be removed fairly easily by professional cleaning, and stains that develop inside the tooth where you can't reach them. And I guess the thing which has popped up quite a bit in recent months has been charcoal. So the idea of grinding charcoal over the surface of your teeth to abrade away the surface with the stains has actually been around for several hundred years, but it does come with an inherent risk of actually creating a very thin area of enamel. So because of this risk of abrasion to the tooth surface, it's not something that many dentists actively recommend, and it's something that I certainly don't think is very clever. When there's stains inside teeth, you need something that penetrates in, and that something is normally some different formulation of hydrogen peroxide that can actually get into the internal parts of teeth. So something that's simply working on the outside is not going to reach into the inside.
And does that have any effect on your teeth, or is something that you should only have carried out by a dentist?
Well, certainly in a dental practice, we can recognise the sorts of stains that people have, and some of those are better treated in ways other than bleaching. In some cases, there are stains which require different sorts of chemical agents to be used or special types of protocols to be followed. So there's no one sort of commercial bleaching system that is ideally suited to everything. You need to sort of mix and match. And it's like most things, if you don't have the right diagnosis, then you're not likely to select the right sort of treatment. So we always tell people, you know, come along to a dental practice and get some expert opinion on what's actually happening on your teeth. And then we can say, well, actually, this is just something simple on the surface. We can reverse it or remove it using this method. And if it's something internal, then we can recommend different products at home or give you some options in the surgery that can be used to treat it.
Laurie, if I can summarise, it's great to chew gum as long as it's sugar-free and it's not full of citric acid. Don't swish lemon juice around your mouth and see your dentist about teeth whitening.
Well done, Gillian. You've got it in three hits.
So I can never usually have a conversation with my dentist because, well, you know why.
Well, actually, most dentists can understand when people talk, I'm actually very good at it. Yep. Oh. We actually learn that special language very easily in dental school. So, yep.
So nice to talk to you, Laurie. Thank you.
Thank you, Gillian. A pleasure.